love that humility. Please model that humility in church. Amen? So, praise God. Blessings on you, man of God. And blessings on you, church, for being a good church, too. Now, let's talk about some serious stuff this morning. I want to talk about outfits. I want to talk about clothing. And I want to talk about style. I really do. And this is because I'm a man, and evidently all men love outfits and style. So, it's not only... No, I was prepping for today, and really the heartbeat behind talking about clothing and talking about style is I was continually asking the Lord, Lord, what's next? How do we want to prepare for all that God is doing through us? And He keeps bringing me back to meeting Him, thinking about His essential qualities, thinking about His, you know, shareable qualities, those moral attributes, and then walking with Him. So you see how I've been following Moses and how Moses met with God, and then how Moses took on some of those attributes of God, and then how Moses was walking with the Lord, but he messed up sometimes, and then he has to walk with the Lord. And all of us can relate. If you're walking with the Lord, you have good days, you have bad days, you get it right, you kind of miss it, and the Lord works with us. Amen? Awesome. But one of the things that I have never stopped to really preach on is the fact that Moses told people how to dress. Some of you are like, no, where are you going with this? No, I am not going to tell you what to wear or what not to wear. That is not my MO, and that's not the MO, the modus operandi of the New Testament church. I will not do that. But what I will do is take an honest look at the garments that Moses received from the Lord. God spoke to Moses at this formative time of the nation of Israel. And God made His intentions clear. He said, I want a people made for me. And in this process of making a people unique for God, He said, and dress them like this. The people I'm actually referring to are the priesthood. So Moses had can you imagine God as a designer? Fashion Week in New York, you know, God shows up and He's like, and here is my new line. I'd like to introduce a nice sash with a tunic and a head turban thing. And I want some tassels. You know, I mean, this is the way that God spoke to Moses, and He played that out very specifically. I want this kind of undergarment. It needs to be a linen undergarment. I'm going to call it an ephod. Why didn't He want it made out of something else, like wool or some animal hair or something? Well, He makes it clear. He says, I don't want sweat in my presence. That's impure. So He doesn't want this nasty kind of stuff that comes out of our body. Everybody's like, amen. You know? And so evidently God likes deodorant too. And so no BO in God's Holy of Holies, okay? And so He wants this linen. And then on top of that, He wants this nice tunic to go over, and then He wants a breastplate, and then He wants this particular sash, and then He wants a turban. And He had all these things that He told Moses, do each of these and make them something that you tell Aaron and his kids to wear. Make one special for Aaron, and then make one for all of the priesthood, and make this a perpetual relationship for his kids and his kids' kids and his kids' 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 kids, all the way down to what I believe applies even to us, the New Testament church. Because God has, from the Old Testament to today, always desired a people who are a priesthood to Him. Now, thankfully, things have changed. So we no longer wear those outfits. Amen. Praise God. I am so glad that I no longer have to wear those outfits. And, you know, all those vestments and crazy stuff. And I mean, there's a lot that went on with just those garments. And so now we've changed and we wear different kind of garments. But we definitely have garments that apply to us today. And so I have a question that I want us to be reflecting on as we go through today's message. Here's the one that came to me. Are you and I dressed appropriately? Think about this. Are you and I dressed appropriately? Here's how we know if we're dressed appropriately. Does it match your role and your calling? Are you dressed appropriately? Are you dressed in such a way it goes with what you are made to do, what you're called to do? This is very important because it's how, even in the very natural ways, we determine what is modest or an immodest thing. Even in our society today, as crazy and as extreme as we are, most of us in this room would go, if I showed up in my swimsuit, right? You would say, why? Well, there's nothing wrong with a swimsuit as long as it's an appropriate swimsuit, and it's a swimsuit, not a bedroom outfit. Thank you for whoever said that, amen. You know what I mean? So, based on purpose, intent, time, place, there is an appropriate outfit that corresponds with that. So today would not be appropriate for a swimsuit. But you know what? If I was at the beach, it would be inappropriate to wear a suit. A button-up suit with a blazer and, you know, jeans. You know, it just would look weird. And so in church, we might have an expected attire, but I'm thinking a lot broader. So think in more of an idea sense. What are those figurative qualities? What are those intangibles that we put on or that we're supposed to put off that mark us for what we're called to do or how we're supposed to function? These will be things like attitudes. These will be things like patterns and habits in your life. These are all the things that we put on or things we put off so that we are dressed appropriately for the purpose and the calling that we have. So are you following me? So are you and I dressed appropriately today? That's a good question. The next thing is I want to say, well, why is clothing such a powerful symbol? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Why is clothing such a big deal in the Old Testament, and why does it come up in the New Testament? I mean, it's clothing, for goodness sake. It shouldn't really matter. So the symbolism, you'll see this, and it is throughout Scripture. It's like every New Testament author makes comparisons and uses the symbolism of clothing, attire, for all kinds of things in our walk with the Lord. And in the Old Testament, there's so much that those priestly garments represent. And all of that speaks to the power of this symbol of clothing. And so if we've never stopped to ask, hey, are we properly dressed and why does this matter? Then we might be missing out on so much of what God is wanting to speak to us today. And if we miss that, here's the important part. When it comes time for you to function in your proper role or calling, how embarrassed would you be if you aren't prepared? How embarrassed would you be if you don't have what you need? If you were a firefighter, but you didn't show up with fire retardant clothing or an extra supply of oxygen and a face mask and all the gloves, if you were the one guy that showed up unprepared, how embarrassing would that be? Or in another context, if you were the gymnast who showed up for the big competition, but you weren't in your, you know, fancy little unitard to do some gymnastic stuff, like what Travis wears whenever he comes up here to work on Fridays. So he's very flexible. How embarrassed would you be if you didn't come dressed appropriately? Now, in the sense that we're talking, how embarrassed would it be if someone in their moment of real need turns to you and you aren't clothed in power? I don't know how to do this. What if someone turns to you and you're not clothed with faith? You don't have it. You're still doubting. How embarrassing is that? And how does that look on the whole body of Christ? The body of Christ is walking around unclothed, no faith. Come on. What about those moments where you're called upon to show extra mercy or grace? You just don't have it on. You're not clothed in it. Oh, this is when the body of Christ looks very foolish and everything gets really awkward. So when I say, why is clothing a powerful symbol? It's because it it brings us right to the question of, can something miraculous happen because of clothing? Yes. The reason I know this is it literally was the case in the New Testament. And there is powerful reasons for why this individual believed the hem of Jesus' garment had power. Now, I'm not this mystic to say that hems of garments have power in and of themselves. I'm not a kook. But the symbolism, if it has substance, has a power. So a form with power is effective. A form without power is ineffective and we don't want it. But this hem, Jesus' hem, if you don't remember the story, you could look it up in Mark chapter 5, verse 28. It says, and you could read it also in Matthew's gospel in chapter 9, but I like how it says in chapter 5, verse 28 of Mark, it says, she thought to herself, if I just touch his garment, I'm going to get well. The reason she thought that is because she recognized the individual not as being clothed as the Old Testament priest, but all of the ideology had carried on. He was a holy man. He had a lifestyle and a practice that corresponded with that holy ideal. He was set apart. And in that moment, she remembered almost, as it were. Now, I'm speculating, but it's very solid. She just remembers, you know what, in the Old Testament, all of their outfits and everything about them, it was holy. They were set apart. They were the priesthood. And here, no doubt, her heart is saying, that man, Jesus, is a mediator of a new covenant. If you just touch his hem, even the garments that he wears are in submission to his calling and his purpose. And you might get just a leftover blessing. And just a leftover blessing dripping down the garments that man is wearing might be enough just for you to have a miracle to change your body and heal you instantly. And her faith was pointed not at clothing, but pointing at what it represented. And so she just touched that hem and she was healed. And instantly, Jesus said, power just flew out of me. He didn't say, someone just ripped off the hem of my garment. He said, power flew out of me. So does clothing matter? Well, not necessarily color, cut, or style, or brand. But I'll tell you, when you are a man or a woman of God, and you have the things of God clothed on you, you are prepared for whatever thing God's created you for. If you're a warrior, you will be prepared because you'll have put on the armor of God and you're ready to fight. You'll have the sword with you. You'll have all that stuff and you'll have the protection. If you are someone who is a worshiper and you want to intercede, then you will have the appropriate attire. You will have the sackcloth on days of mourning, which was this burlap, horrible outfit that meant to everyone, look, they are mourning. Their heart is broken over something. So their insides were dressed up on the outside. And so you'll have that. Or if you're someone who is celebrating and offering to the Lord thanks and praise, you will have your fancy outfit on. Why? Because it's a special day. How sad would it be to be unprepared on a special day? Your wife calls you and says, let's go out on a hot date. And I go, yeah, and I show up in my swimsuit. And she's like, you misunderstand everything I say. I said, dress up and come and make me feel special like you really care. So if there's times to give thanks and praise to the Lord, there might be an appropriate way of showing that in the way we even dress. Amen? So let me move on. And let's talk a little bit about these things. So, are we dressed appropriately? Some of this idea comes from Exodus. Exodus 28:4. And I want to read some of these scriptures to you. It says here in Exodus 28:4, it says, these are the garments which they are going to make, a breastplate to cover. And on it had all kinds of ornamental, decorations that represented the 12 tribes and all these different things. It was very beautiful. An ephod that went under everything, a robe, a tunic made of checkered work. I have no idea why this translation says checkered work, but we're going to keep it in there. And it says, and then a turban. I've really only worn a turban for theater, never in real life. I would feel so awkward in a turban, so I'm really thankful this no longer applies. A sash. Yes, I have worn a sash, usually on stage again. And then here's what it says. And they're going to make these holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as a priest to me. Exodus 29, verse 29. It says, these holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, that in them they may be anointed and ordained. So these holy garments for Aaron shall be for his sons after him, that in them they may be anointed and ordained. Wow. So, if we really are meant to be God's priesthood, a nation of priests, in a sense, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, what do we say? All right, Lord, I believe out of Exodus 29, 29, it says, in these we will be anointed and ordained. What does that mean? I think there's an element of laying a foundation here for greater ministry in your life than maybe what you've realized. There is an anointing and an ordination that happens when we begin to put these things on. So what is an anointing? Anointing is that oil that was used. It was a symbol, right? A symbol. In the worship that was described through all of Exodus in that whole time, the holy oil was created and was used in worship, smearing and marking people for position and calling and all kinds of things, anointing even objects too. So this anointing oil was very symbolic of God's Holy Spirit coming on something, God's presence coming on something and marking it with something so that it was distinct from all other things. And so it became holy, separate, all that stuff. That anointing meant that you were different and that the Holy Spirit was upon you to be different and to do something different. So a lot of times I say anointing is the power to be and to do. So anointing is the power to be or to do. So can you preach that back to me? What's the anointing, church? So the power to be and to do, it comes from an anointing. Where does that anointing come from? It's initiated by the Holy Spirit. As we were starting service today, the emphasis of Acts and the prophets that said, you will be clothed in power. The Holy Spirit would be poured out on you. So part of my heartbeat here is, Lord, how can we be clothed in power? We've got to have that clothing of the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to be anointed to be and to do. It's very important. We can't do the things God wants us to do separate from the power of the Holy Spirit. I have tried to minister even preaching separate from the power of the Holy Spirit. It is like pork chops in a synagogue. It is horrible. It doesn't match. It just doesn't. It doesn't fit. It's just. It doesn't work. I've tried to say some of the same scriptures that I would use for evangelism, but if the power of the Holy Spirit isn't flowing in my life, it's just like a clanging gong. All the people hear is bong, gong, 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 and they don't hear any sweetness. They hear no gospel. And it's because the Holy Spirit is either grieved in me or just hindered in me. It's not flowing. Why? I'm not clothed in it. So why is it so important? And why does someone like a charismatic pastor like me emphasize things about the Holy Spirit so much? Because it is the key ingredient for us to be clothed the way we should so that we could be the church for this time and this season. And I'm growing more tenacious about this too than I ever expected myself to be. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because I sense the timing that we're in. It's like all of creation is aching right now. There is an intensity growing in the world around us, the cosmos around us. That means the way the world works, culture. But also in nature itself, there is an unexpected tenacity or anxiousness in nature itself. Are things global warming? I don't know. What about this or that? All of that stuff, I kind of throw it all out. But it does reinforce this idea that Romans tells us. All of creation is longing for the sons of God to be revealed. And what does that look like? That looks like individual members, you and me, being clothed with power for the season that we live. I was not born 200 years ago, so I can't live like them. But I was born right now. I was born right at this moment where there was a shift from everything analog to everything digital. Everything just stored in a file cabinet to now it's in the cloud. In a moment when no one knew until they knew, till now everyone can know in a second, all at the same time. It has been such a dramatic change in history. And I've been born in such a time as this. But I will not fulfill my calling if I'm not dressed appropriately. So church, this whole message has already been preached and summed up. So if it hasn't ministered to you yet, then I'm going to try it one more way. Let's go through here. I've really shot the whole wad already. But here's the things that I still see, and I want you to hear. I believe clothing is the appropriate symbol because clothing is, we all relate to the choice we have when we get dressed in the morning, right? Unless you're me and my wife picks out my clothes for me. So, no. I did tell the ladies at the grocery store this morning about 5:30. They said, every Sunday during Memorial to Labor Day, I wear Hawaiian or these kinds of shirts. It's just something I'm doing. I don't know why. I'm the thug. And they now know this. So then when I go to festival, all these old ladies that work the early shift, they're all there. And then they like huddle up like a bunch of hens. And they go, ah, I see a new shirt this week. Oh, look at that. That's another one. And they talk about my clothes. I know, it's so funny. So this morning, as one of them walked all the way across from one side of festival just to say, I like that new shirt you got today. And I was like, I've worn it before, you know. It's like, and I'll pass it on. I'll tell my wife, you know, she helped pick this one out, you know. And I was like, I'll tell her. You know, I have the privilege and you have the privilege of picking clothes that you prefer. And until you get married, you are the only opinion that matters. So enjoy it while you're still young. I remember my mom told me, I came out, I used to have this favorite shirt. Any guy knows what a favorite shirt is almost any guy, or it's a favorite hat, there's something. I had this favorite shirt. This shirt survived, I want to say, 6 years of living with me. By the end of this sixth-ish year, this was just a t-shirt, and I don't even remember where I got it. This t-shirt was so worn out and holy and stained, it really looked like a doily. Just a lace doily. Like, everything here had been rotted out years ago. There, it's just all kinds of stuff. But as a 16, 17-year-old kid, I just thought it was amazing. It was my favorite shirt. I felt lucky if I was wearing it, you know, and I could do extra tricks on my my skateboard. I was just like, this is amazing. I just love this shirt. The problem is I had a mom. And so my mom, she would, if she saw it, she would throw it away. So this became a shirt I had to hide. She couldn't see it, which also meant it was even washed less. Yeah. And so, but if she saw the shirt, it was so good. I could turn my mom's attitude in a second. She could be having a great day. If I would walk out around the house and I would have that kind of faded, reddish, weird shirt on, she would go from happy and focused on something to, oh my gosh, you still have that shirt? Ben, get over here right now. And she would just, and I'm like, woohoo, and I would run. Because I didn't want her to take it. That shirt is an urban legend now because one day I think the Lord took it. Just, it was no more. At least that's the way I'm saying it, because I don't want to hold any bitterness against my wife or my mom. So it's like, I don't know where it's at, but one of these days I'll find out. You know, we each know that you can pick an outfit and it's your style, right? It's kind of fun to know people's styles, and styles change. When it comes to your spiritual life and your walk with the Lord, your personality has got a big impact. Some of you are slow to move. That's why you still own that shirt for 6, 7 years, right? And your wife is like, yep, I bought you a new outfit. And you're like, I don't like the new one. I like the old one. You know, you're slow to change. What that might translate to is you are slow to take steps in your spiritual walk. Why? You're just slow to risk anything. You don't want to look foolish. You'll be the guy who says, well, until I really know that I know that I know, I ain't going to be that guy that steps out and gives a prophetic word. Why? I ain't going to look stupid. I know what I know. I show up to church. I sit where I sit. I maybe raise my hands like this, and that is a stretch from where I came from. Be happy with that. Basically, that's just saying, you know, I put on this shirt. This is my comfortable shirt, the shirt I'm wearing. But what if God is challenging you to put on a new outfit? And is challenging you to put on an outfit that maybe you've never worn before, and you might even feel like it's a little weird. Like the first time I put on skinny jeans. Yeah, I did. In Old Navy, we went there, and this was back when skinny jeans were kind of there, and I was like, I'm going to put on some skinny jeans because my girl said that's what cool preachers wear, skinny jeans, so I'm going to put on some skinny jeans. I didn't let them know I was going to try it because I didn't want to be foolish in front of them, and I already knew it was going to be bad. So I put on my skinny jeans and stepped out to look in the little mirror and show the girls, and I stepped out at Old Navy. There was a family there with all the kids and the mama and all this kind of stuff, and the entire family saw me step out in the skinny jeans, and they all, no lie either, they did this. They really did. To which I responded, I was like, I'm dancing. No, I went right back into the room, and I was like, this is the last time I'm wearing skinny jeans. Man, guys aren't supposed to wear leggings. So I know I'm not going to ask you men spiritually to put on leggings, but you might feel just as awkward coming down in front of people, kneeling and crying in public. You'd be like, that's the last thing in the world I'm going to do. You're right, but what if the Lord says, put on a new outfit because I'm preparing you for something you're called to do? You got to be willing to do it. But what about if God is saying to you, I want you to be a warrior and stop mamsy-pamsying around with things. You have to have strong convictions and be a person of convictions. You know, the reason I bring this up is because I think we live in a culture that is trying to tell us to dress in a way that is unoffensive. But in this same culture, you could dress every other offensive way. You just can't dress godly. And that just boggles my mind. And so as we drive around the city even, as we interact with different people, I will see things and they're just telling us that you have to accept what I'm telling you you have to accept. You know, in the Bible it says, this is Old Testament, but it affirms in the New Testament, that men are not supposed to wear girls' clothes and girls aren't supposed to wear men's clothes. Why did that matter? Did they say, well, I don't want you looking like a girl. Okay, moment. This is just the way my brain. Okay, when you're wearing those big old, like, roby-looking things, it kind of looks like a girl's outfit anyway. You know, when I was just in Qatar, this is so bad. I can't say that online. But, I mean, there's a lot. A tunic looks like a dress. It really does. So is it the shape that we're criticizing? Is it the material used? Some of the material used in those guys' outfits, they're nice flowing outfits. You know what I mean? So it's not the material, it's not the cut, it's what it represents. So when I'm in this culture here in America and I see a guy who identifies as an animal or something like that and he's dressed half like a girl or a guy and you don't really know any direction, which way or that, you know, I love the individual. What I don't like is what the symbols represent. The symbols say, we are no longer made in God's image, I get to tell him who I am. That is not appropriate. So clothing matters because of what it represents and the power it speaks. And so even in our churches, I believe that we are dealing with a culture that says, I want you to dress and not be offensive. So that means spiritually, well, don't speak in tongues sometimes because nobody would understand that and that's offensive. What? How about when you take those steps of boldness and you're clothed in power and you begin to speak out in tongues and maybe God speaks to somebody, you wouldn't even be able to talk to them, but God translates it and they hear their own language or they hear a miracle right then and there. That's impressive. So dress in that power. Amen? And on, I could probably work that analogy more and more, but I think you get it. There are some other things that I feel are important. We have such a diminished amount of power or anointing, and it boils down to what we've put on and what we've allowed to stay on us and refuse to take off. And because we've allowed these things to stay on us, these outfits, and not taken them off, then it's voided us from ministry, from that power that we need. Well, what I'm talking about, in the New Testament, these would be the things of the flesh. These are the deeds of the flesh that interrupt the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So things like if we are prayerless, things that if we are carnal and we're given into our lusts, or things if we're just undisciplined in our flesh and we're no longer learning to discipline or control our flesh, or if we're not doing things in faith and love, then we're not mixing faith or the word with action, and so we're no longer loving, we're just saying we're loving, or we're no longer acting in obedience, we just say we have faith, and so we're not putting on the things that equate to power. Now, that means you've got to put off those things of the flesh. Put off the indifference in prayer or the indifference to God's word. And you got to put on faith and obedience. I don't like that. Anybody else like that? That is like a harsh outfit. But you've got to put it on. And what about all these other qualities? I just see these things as the things we fail to do, and it also keeps us unprepared. So my heart is, I think we are stepping into a season where there is a greater intentionality. The visible church, I think we're so poised right now to begin to tell people steps of how to prepare for greater ministry. I believe that the people who are ministering, even in this church, are going to be more bold than we've ever been before. Why? This is the season in which we live. People don't need just mamsy-pamsy ideology. They need action steps. What do we do with this, Pastor? How do we take a step in this? Well, we need to know with conviction those things. And it will be offensive, but that's exactly what Scripture told us. It said, if you live godly in this present age, you will be persecuted. You're going to experience pushback. But you know, this is part of wearing the clothes. And so I want to say in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says this. It says, and this is in this mindset of why am I talking about this and why is this important for today? It's because as Christ comes back, he's coming back for a people, a bride who is dressed in readiness, who is dressed in preparation for the things that God has them to do. He's not coming back for a bride that is not dressed, that is unprepared, maybe never got ready. Okay, this is one of those wonderful things. In my life, my wife is the most consistent and faithful person in the world when it comes to cleaning and doing all this stuff. This has spoiled me horrendously. The reason being is miraculously clothes just show up in drawers and in my closet. And there's times where I'll tell her, it's like, thank you so much. I don't know what happens between when I mess it up and when it pops back into the closet. It's amazing. And she has told me many times that I am not allowed to touch any of her machinery. I can't. I'm just not. Because I will probably mess all of it up. But it is so cool that she just does that. Now, what I don't know is the hours it takes and the preparation. She's got to go to the store and she tries out different stuff. Even the stains, like this is a fun way I test her skills out. I find new ways to destroy clothing all the time. With oil, with soot, with weird chemicals that I create myself in the garage, painting in clothes that I just purchased, or anything. I know some of the wives are like, basically, I have no sense of regard for any of the outfits that I have. I expect them all to just miraculously be fixed. She is a genius. She will try new soaps. She will try new methods. She'll do hand things. And then miraculously, they show up and they're cleaned. I don't know how she does it. It takes a lot of work. That's my point. When it comes time for God to come back, we have got to be that diligent to say, Lord, what do we need to do right now? If our garments are dirty, what do we need to do to get clean? If our garments are not ironed, well, someone's got to iron it. You got to iron it. You know, there are so many things that we've got to do diligently in preparation for Christ's return. And some of that requires Bible study. Some of that requires action and commitment on our parts. These are things that are very real. They're not just ideas. And it translates into the church being ready. And so I love how Luke chapter 12, verse 35 says, "Church, be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps lit. Be dressed in readiness." Wow. So, praise God. I want to end it with what Revelation has to say about clothes. As I was going through this study, I came across what it says in Revelation chapter 3. And it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white because they're worthy. And he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." I don't have time to get into all the references to clothes, garments of righteousness, or all the other titles of clothing related to the things that we just read right here. The point is this, that I think we can get dirty, our garments can get dirty. The things that we are to learn and to put on and to practice, we get worn out in them, and we need to repair them, we need to wash them, whatever it takes, but we have a choice in that. And it leads me to the next verse in verse 18. It says in the same chapter, Revelation 3, verse 18, this is God advising us to buy clothes. This is why I'm going to end on this. He says, "I advise you to buy. I want you to buy from me gold that is refined by fire." I want you, in essence, to buy through persevering under trial and pressure a faith. This is very important. You need a commodity. You need something, currency, the currency of heaven. You need it. How do you get it? You must learn to persevere under pressure. It gains you gold. You get currency. You earn it. And what you do with that perseverance under pressure and trials, and you stay the course, don't get weary. What happens is you have a currency that then you trade for something. What are you trading it for? It says right here, it says, so that you can buy something. You can be rich and you can buy something. White garments so that you may clothe yourself. And that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. This is so beautiful. I just love this. Boy, I wish I had two more Sundays to talk about this, but we don't. Mike Carmody's coming in next week, and he's got a humdinger of a message for you. But what I see right here is this. Through a hunger in our faith that we're persevering, we're buying white garments. You're buying through perseverance. You're abstaining from certain things and you're going after the Lord. So you're becoming more holy. You're becoming more like God. You're becoming more set apart. It's like you're putting on that ephod, that linen ephod that is so pure. And every time you're persecuted, it's like God is saying, "That's just like my kid. You're doing what I did. You endured persecution." And so even if you do it to the point of shedding blood, it's like you're going to be a part of a whole group of people that sacrificed their literal life to stay faithful to me, and they're going to be clothed in white. And so anytime we stay persevering and focus on the Lord, it's like we're earning white, pure garments. And so I'm going, okay, Lord, in this generation, we have got to be convinced that we've got to buy white garments. And so I want you to stand because I want to pray. And in this prayer, I want to pray that if you have become weary in putting on things that are godly. I mean, we just got done talking about godly things in the last few messages. Maybe holiness really wears you out. I don't want you to be wore out. You got to persevere and put it on. If trying to be merciful really wears you out, I don't want you to get worn out. You got to put that mercy on. What about faithfulness and on? All the things that God says, I want you to learn from me. Maybe even just spending time with the Lord. If it's become burdensome to you, that's got to change. Why? You must persevere and buy. You need to buy that white garment. And I believe that as you do that, the Holy Spirit will clothe you in power and you will be prepped for more and more ministry. I want that for you. So I want to pray. And if you've been weary in any way, would you just close your eyes and kind of open your heart and your mind? Heavenly Father, I want to lift up every person in this room, but especially those who are weary in doing what is right, or they need to put on some new clothes today. They're just struggling. Lord Jesus, would you come in and give strength where there's been weakness? And would you give a settledness where there's been confusion? Let there be a mind that is made up and focused on pursuing you. I want to ask that you remove the distractions in our lives and let us be clearly focused on you, chasing after you with hunger. Lord, I pray that in this room, that every person puts on the garments that are appropriate for their calling and their design. So the warriors in this room, clothe them in that armor that they need. The intercessors in this room, clothe them in the ephods and in the sackcloth that they need. Lord, if there are those that need to bring praises, clothe them in the garments for praise. Praise you, Jesus. But for everyone in this room, Lord, I ask for the reality afresh in this day, in this season of ministry, that we would put off the deeds of the flesh and make way for being clothed in the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and clothe us for the work that is before us. Clothe us with power. If you want that power, would you just agree with me and say yes and amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Well, the Lord sure is good, and the Lord is here today. And if you have any specific prayer requests, I don't want you to leave church without coming and praying. We'd be happy to pray with you. We've got some awesome elders down here. Come and tell them what you want to pray, and they'll pray with you. Other than that, you guys be blessed. We'll see you in service. Your